This morning we're going to be looking at Matthew chapter 17, verses 1 through 8. And you'll recognize some of the words that are spoken there. Matthew chapter 17. And after 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John his brother, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. And his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. And behold, there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. And Peter said to Jesus, Lord, it is good that we are here. If you wish, I will make 3 tents here, one for you, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah. He was still speaking when, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice came from the cloud, said, This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. When the disciples heard this, they fell on their faces and were terrified. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, Rise and have no fear. And when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. Do any of you have a mouth that moves more quickly than your brain? That's a very dangerous trait to have. Some people will say, open mouth, insert foot. Or maybe this is more your style. Maybe your style is you keep talking long after you should have stopped talking. Now, if you could be a fly on the wall at the Edwards house while we eat dinner, you would often hear 2 running monologues. One coming from Margaret and one coming from me. And sometimes we might even try to engage Gabriel or Christy in the conversation. We might ask them a question to see what they might say. But you know what? Usually, neither Margaret nor I can keep our mouths shut long enough for them to actually get an answer out. Sometimes, when Margaret isn't around, and I'm talking to Christy, Christy will actually say to me, Okay, I heard you the first time, Margaret. So, in addition to everything else, I'm compared to my 8-year-old daughter, and I guess she must be indicating that I'm repeating myself until I'm sure that she has acknowledged what I've said. So if you're going to go the second mile with me, don't worry about bringing your conversation topics. I've got that covered. And that brings us to Peter, the disciple on display yet again in today's text. He's on display over and over again, and here he is again. He never seems to quit talking while the going is good. He always says just a little bit more than he probably should. He always speaks before he thinks, and often he just misses the point that Jesus is trying to make. So our passage today says, after 6 days. 6 days after what? It's 6 days after Jesus told his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem, that he must go there to suffer and die. And do you remember what Peter did when he was told this? Peter took Jesus aside and rebuked him. He said, No, Jesus, you got it wrong. Let's just suffer and die. That doesn't make any sense. You're the Messiah. You're not going to suffer and die. And Jesus turned to Peter and said, Get behind me, Satan. You are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of men. Peter was driven by his love for Jesus, But when it all came down to it, he continually put his will first. He put his understanding of things first. He opened his mouth when he should have listened. Jesus went so far to say to Peter 6 days earlier, "You are a hindrance to me." Now, can you imagine being called a hindrance by the Son of God? God calls you a hindrance. So now it's 1 week later, and Jesus takes the inner circle of the disciples, Peter, James, and John, up a high mountain, and he is transfigured before them. Now, when Moses received the Ten Commandments, and he talked with God, and he came down the mountain, the people were afraid to come near him because his face shone, reflecting God's glory. But here, Jesus is transfigured, which means literally metamorphosis. It was not just a shining face that he had. He was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. His divinity in this moment was obvious in its entirety. Before the disciples, Jesus now appears as he appeared before he became a man, and as he would appear in future exaltation. And behold, there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. So Jesus is transfigured, and now Moses and Elijah appear. The law and the prophets represented in these two men. The law and the prophets, the witnesses to Jesus as a disciple. All scripture points to Jesus. And they were here talking with their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The disciples see Christ's divinity as he's transfigured before them. And now they see these two really important men speaking with him. And Peter does something totally incredible, which we sort of take for granted because we've heard this story many, many times. He's looking at Jesus. He's looking at Moses. He's looking at Elijah. He is in absolute awe of what he is seeing. And the Gospel of Mark adds an important point to this story. Mark says, Peter is in awe, and he didn't know what to say. So what does Peter do? He doesn't know what to say, and he opens his mouth anyway. He actually, think about this, Peter takes this opportunity to interrupt a conversation of Moses, Elijah, and the Son of God. He interrupts them to say, "Hey guys, I've got a really good idea that I think you're going to appreciate." And Peter says to Jesus, "Lord, it is good that we are here. If you wish, I will make three tents here, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah." So it's even a religious idea. It reflects the Feast of Tabernacles that we see in the Old Testament. But in his eagerness to speak, he compromises the uniqueness of Christ. He equates Christ with Moses and Elijah, in essence making him another prophet. So a week earlier, Peter puts his needs and expectations first and basically says to God, "You know what, God? You don't work like this. This whole suffering and dying thing, that's not the way you do business. Here's what you should do instead." And now, Jesus, in response to that, takes him to the mountaintop and fully reveals his divinity to Peter in a visible way to teach him. And Peter's response is to open his mouth and suggest something that demonstrates yet again his lack of understanding. I think if we're honest, in self-reflection, we can probably relate to what's happening here. A lot of times, when we don't know what to say, we talk anyway. A lot of times, when we don't have an expert opinion to offer up, we offer up a pretty definitive opinion anyway. How many of you have talked with someone after they've gone to a doctor and they come back with their prognosis? And then you, with your extensive medical background, your extensive medical experience, and your expertise declare, that doctor's not right. I know what your problem is. It is said that 50% of medical journals and internet medical references are wrong. Yet we'll offer it up to doctors anyway and tell them what to do. Like Peter, do we as believers try to tell God how it is? When God shows your sin to you, do you repent? Or do you just say, God, I had a good reason for that? Do you make excuses? When God moves you to address a previous wrong that you've caused to someone, do you act on it? Or do you say, God, I understand your point of view, but I think I actually have a better idea. How about we not worry about that guy, and let's do something about the things that I need? Do we just want to keep our lives as is, without the trouble of growing in discipleship, or living in obedience to God's will for us? Or maybe, even better than that, do we want Jesus to be a really good add-on to what we're already doing in our lives and a really good add-on to what we already have? Is Jesus then just one more great influence in our lives? Is he one more thing to add to the list? You know, I've got to handle the car. I've got to get the kids to their sports event. I've got to get dinner. Oh, there's Jesus to worry about too. And Peter was still speaking. His mouth was still running. When a bright cloud overshadows them, and a voice from the cloud says, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." His mouth is running, but the scene changes. A cloud overshadows him, and God's voice is heard. And here's a modern-day English paraphrase of what God is saying. "Hey, Peter, would you shut up already and listen? Just once, don't put yourself first. Just once, close your mouth and open your ears. Just once, close your mouth and open your eyes. Just once, close your mouth and open your heart." Jesus is not just a good example. He is not another Moses. He is not another Elijah. He's not another great man. All of biblical revelation points to him and him alone. He is God himself, given to us for forgiveness of sin, salvation, and life. And when we truly understand that, when we can put our own expectations aside, and when we can be quiet and listen to God, we will be transformed. Now, last Sunday, many of you were touched by Pastor Graff's testimony about the loss of his son, Chuck. And Pastor Graff talked about how death could come at any time, and we need to be ready for eternity right now. And I have to tell you, a week ago at this time, Laurel did not know that her sister-in-law would be gone when we were speaking here this morning. But just a few days ago, a funeral and a burial took place. I was given the opportunity on Thursday to speak about eternity with about 100 people or so. And I would suggest that we are rightly concerned about eternity. We should be very concerned about where we stand with Jesus Christ right now. Do we believe what Christ has done for us? And do we believe what he has said to us? But if we really do believe Jesus, if we really believe who he is and what he says, then we aren't going to look at eternity as if it's something that takes place later, something that gets added on at the end of this life, some place where I'll rest after driving the kids to events and getting my dinner and handling the car repairs. It won't be something that we look at as happening in a future sense. We will know it to be a present reality. This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. If we believe that Jesus is God, then why do we continue to just go through the motions in life? Just as Jesus is transfigured before our very eyes, St. Paul tells us that we can be transformed inwardly by this very same Jesus through the work of the Spirit. Hear these words from 2 Corinthians. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. The Spirit moves in us. The Spirit moves through us to make us more like him every single moment and every single day. Rather than living our lives as if we were approaching eternity somewhere off in the future, rather than living our lives as if we live sort of right next door to heaven and eventually we'll move in, we are called to live in eternity right now. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good, acceptable, and perfect. From Romans. Not our will is done, but God's will is done in eternity. Not our will is done, but God's will is done when we live in heaven rather than at the edge of heaven. So God told Peter to zip it. And I'm guessing maybe he felt pretty rotten. When the disciples heard this, they fell on their faces and were terrified. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Rise and have no fear." And when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. Peter failed yet again, but Jesus reaches out to him again, raises him up again, and draws him back to him. And when Peter looks up, he doesn't see Moses and Elijah. He doesn't see the mountaintop. All he sees is Jesus. And when Peter keeps his eyes on Jesus, he lives abundantly. It's when Peter looks at the things around him that he gets into trouble. The disciples are on the boat. The storms are coming. Jesus is walking on the water towards the boat. Peter says, "Lord, if it is you, I'll step out of the boat." And Jesus says, "Come." And the scripture tells us that Peter steps out of the boat, looks Jesus in the eye, and walks on the water. He looks Jesus in the eye and walks on the water. But then what? The wind blows. Where does Peter look? He looks away. He looks away from Jesus and he begins to sink. And he calls out to Jesus, "Lord, save me." What does Jesus do? Saves him. "Oh, you of little faith." But he saves him. Peter takes his eyes off of Jesus to look at Moses and Elijah. And at that point, God says, "Be quiet." But Jesus raises him up. Later, Peter says, Lord, I will go where you go. I will never deny you. And he denies Jesus three times. And one of the gospel accounts says that Jesus looks back at Peter, makes eye contact with him. Peter denies Jesus. Jesus looks at him, and Jesus, again, raises him up. Living abundant life now, living in eternity now, means never having to doubt that God's grace will just keep coming. That is amazing grace. It is impossible to tire God out, regardless of our imperfections. Every time we doubt, every time we fail, every time we sin, every time we talk when we ought to listen, every time we say something stupid, every time we take our eyes off Jesus, we step out of heaven, over to the edge of heaven. But Jesus says, come on, you know, why are you living on the edge? Come back, and pulls us back in, into the center with our eyes on Jesus. This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Stay in his presence through the Word. Now, the Moravian Church has something that I've recently discovered and I find quite interesting. They have something every day called the Watchword of the Day. And every year, over in Germany somewhere, they get together and they select watchwords, which is one verse of Scripture for every day. And the understanding in the Moravian Church is you take this one verse of Scripture and you meditate on it throughout that day. It's your watchword for the day. And at some point, I signed up for their email so I could see their watchwords for the day come through. And so I get one Bible verse from the Moravians every day. And I was looking at my email this morning, and the watchword that they suggested for this week is, this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. So for this week, let that be your watchword. Keep your eyes on Jesus and listen to him. Amen.